Well, I wished I had a big list of names. I could just say how great you are, and I sure love you tonight. You're everything. You're the best. You're the best. And I sure appreciate you wanting to deal with the worst, because, Father, I'm the worst. And, Lord, I thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Now, Lord, I ask that you might bless the word this evening. May it have free course. Lord, it says even in your word that we might pray for the word of God, that it have free course. And Father, I pray just now that it'll lodge in our hearts, that we might learn. Lord, that we might be what we're supposed to be. Lord, may you call to remembrance the things necessary this evening. May you cleanse me, give me power. And Lord, I trust you completely tonight. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name and amen. Well, we know this tonight. You serve what you love. You love what you serve. And there's no love without service. As we preached this morning about loving our wife, we need to serve our wife. Men, we need to serve our wife. We're not the only one that wants a glass of tea or a cup of coffee with their feet propped up. Sometimes they need a glass of tea or a cup of coffee with their feet propped up. It wouldn't hurt us to do the same. In fact, we probably ought to. Huh? Be all right? Amen, preacher. And we ought to serve our wife. Because we love our wife. Amen, preacher. And we'll love what we serve. And we'll serve what we love. Right? And there's no love without service. Amen, preacher. I'm going to go ahead and amen myself tonight. And we'll preach to the ladies this evening. And men, if there's ever a time you can amen tonight, you can amen. All right, we're going to preach to the ladies. But for some reason, it ain't going to be near as hard. Because it don't depend on the women. It depends on the men. So it'll be ladies part one, men part two. That's what Jerry Rush said this evening. But no, what we're going to look at, we're going to look simply. Now, I'm not trying to offend no one. Hope everybody understands. I'm not trying to offend no one. Nor am I trying to tell you I'm making it and doing it, because I ain't. I done repented this morning. I desire to do better. All right? I desire to do better. But we've got to get down to the root of our problem, get everything out of the way, all the air clear, to where there's no hindrance of God in our home, in our church, in the workplace, on our part. On our part. Now, we live in the world, and there's always going to be a hindrance in the world where we're at, but it don't need to be on our part. Right. Everybody understand that? So loving my enemy, and loving one another, and loving my spouse, huh? That's what we're going to have to do. Love the Lord, Him first. Love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy might, all thy power. We love Him, and then we love one another as ourselves. Think about that. Now, we go on. Love is the unselfish concern about another's welfare. The unselfish concern about another's welfare. Let me ask you tonight. We look at this one about seeking the welfare, the highest good for another person. Don't answer me. Just let me ask you: Are we beginning to see where we need to practice that? Are we beginning to see that we need to practice seeking the good for somebody else, or seeking their good, what they're wanting, what they're desiring, what they're needing? See, if we communicate one to another, we know what others need. If we communicate. We talk to one another, fellowship one with another. You know, fellowship is more than being together. You know, if I take two tomcats and tie their tails together, throw them over a clothesline, all right, we have togetherness. But we don't have fellowship. Right? So we can be together, but that don't mean we're having fellowship. All right? Just think about that. So we need to to seek the highest good for another person. Now, we've looked at all these things. Loving a sinner, God's love for His children, our love for God, loving our enemies, loving a brother, bad love last week, and then husbands love your wife this week, or this morning. Now we're going to look, and y'all know what's coming, we're going to love, let the wives love their husband, all right? Wives, love your husbands. Can I get amen from the men? Wives, love your husbands. Our bad breath, our rough hands, our rough feet, our trashy ways, our clutter, our dirty towels on the floor, our dirty clothes on the floor, our cups laying over on the tables, our dishes here, our bowl here, all of that laying everywhere. Wives, love your husbands. Can I get amen, man? Amen. Wives, love our dirty clothes that need washed and scattered and the mud that we track through the house when we don't take our boots off and we track through right after the wife's clean. Wives, love your husbands. Can I get amen from the men, huh? Wives, love your husbands. Because we're just sad shape. We're just in need of love and we're in need of care. We're pitiful. All right? We're like that little stray dog that comes in, just needs a little love and needs a little pet. Will you love us? Huh? Wives, love your husbands, okay? All right? Is that all right, guys? Am I doing good, guys? Huh? Am I doing good? When I need to sleep late, you know, wives, be patient with me. When I can't get my honey-do list done, be patient with me. Husbands, love your wife. Yeah, it's easy, huh? It's easy. Wives, love your husbands when they can't get the list done. Is that all right? Am I running good, guys? Huh? When I feel like I need to go fishing and relieve stress, wives, love your husbands. Is that okay, guys? When I want to watch something special, a John Wayne Western or a ball game or some show on TV, and you're not, I've done seen this many wives love your husbands. Ain't they right, guys?
Yes. Amen.
Is that all right? Huh? We all right? Hey, guys? Is that okay? Huh? Wives, love your husband. Let's all go home and watch John Wayne tonight. Y'all want to? And the wives, y'all make us popcorn and cocoa and we'll watch it together. Huh? And y'all, wives, love your husbands. How about that? Huh? Huh? Well, ain't that good? Huh? Ain't that good? All right. Titus 2, verse 4 and 5 says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. It says that the old ones may teach the younger ones to love their husbands. Did you know that there's no other scripture in the Bible that says for a wife to love her husband? Did you know that? Did you know that there's no other scripture where it says for a wife to love her husband? Huh? Think about it. But the wife's love for her husband is shown through submission. All right? Now the Bible commands that a husband love his wife. But the Bible don't command the wife to love her husband. What he does, he commands the older women to teach the young women to love their husband. Yes, but there's no command like loving the husband like Christ loved the church. There's no scripture like that. You would think there would be scripture like that, wouldn't you, fellas? You would think, with all the mess that the women got us into back in the garden. Wouldn't you think? I mean, that's what we say all the time, ain't it? Huh? You know, it's always said, joking, you know where we'd be without the woman, don't you? And as I said, we'd be in the garden. We wouldn't, just Adam would. Huh? But can I tell you, the Bible does not come right out other than that. Now, there's a lot of places that we're going to go to, but I'm just talking about the Scripture that says, loving your husband, that's it. It says, for the old ones to teach the young ones to love their husband. But what we're going to find is a wife's love for her husband is shown in submission. So when a wife submits to her husband, she's loving her husband. Okay? Does everybody understand that?
Yes.
Now, let's look on. Now, let's think about it for a moment. The Bible says, for the husband to love the wife as Christ loves the church. And then when we're going to see the Scripture, I can see where the wife is to love the husband as the church is to love Christ. That's what it's going to be a comparison to. As I submit to Christ, that the wife submits to the husband. Be okay? Does everybody understand that? Now, I understand that there's no love, whether it's the husband for the wife or the wife for the husband, that's supposed to be greater than our love for Christ. Now, we all understand that. That's the basic, that God is first. Everybody understands that, don't we? We understand that. Now, but let's look at something. We're going to be serious tonight. Now, think about this. 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. Is that what the Bible says about the Lord? We love Him because He first loved us. All right? Now, can I tell you that the wife's love should be the result of the husband's love? That should be the result. The wife loving us should be the way we love them. Then their submission just comes natural. Alright? We still okay. Therefore, I see the burden's on the husband. The wife loving the husband, the burden ain't on the wife, it's on the husband. Alright? Think about that. As a result of his love, the wife chooses to return love. She has no problem with this if she's willing to submit to him. Now, when we ask you wives, are you loving your husband? What we're really asking, are you willing to submit to your husband? Are you willing to be in your place, submitting to your husband as he loves you and treats you as fragile, precious commodity? Are you willing to submit to him? Huh? Let's go on. If you read, when we just looked at this on Thursday night in the Bible class, we just finished up Hosea in our Old Testament class, but there's a perfect picture. Hosea and Gomer. Hosea loving Gomer. Alright? That's Hosea loving Gomer. She was a harlot. The kid she had didn't belong to Hosea. Alright? Hosea loved her. He kept her. He waited on her. He done everything he could to finally, he had to buy her back, redeemed her, done everything, great love, and she finally come around, but he had to love the wife unconditionally. And we're to love the wife unconditionally, whether she submits or whether she don't. Huh? I had a person come to me today that said, well, I ain't going to say that. That wouldn't be right. Let's just think about this. Hosea and Gomer. Might take years for the wife to come around. Huh? I don't know why we would worry about that. It takes years for the husband to come around. Huh? Right? We okay? Ephesians 5:24. It says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. That's where I got that comparison a while ago when I told you that we love Christ like we love our wives like Christ loved the church, and then the wife loves the husband like the church loves Christ. We see that example there. Are we okay? Is everybody with me?
Yes.
I want to make sure you understand where I'm at tonight.
Yes.
All right? Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in what?
Everything.
In everything. In everything. Now, I'm going to go ahead and stop right there and let you know that that's where the rub comes in. Because the wives will submit in some things, but they have issues with submitting to everything. Okay? And that ain't what the Bible says. See, if the Bible tells me I'm to love you like Christ loved the church, then you're going to have to do your part and be submissive in everything. The same truth is in either hand. We okay? Now think about that. Submit means to yield, resign, or surrender to the power, will, or authority of another with the reciprocal pronoun or mutual submission. That reciprocal pronoun, it'd be like me and Cheryl love one another. Or Cheryl and I, or Mark and Cheryl, pronouns, but about the same thing. It's submission, mutual submission. Look it up. All right. That's what that reciprocal pronoun means. It's mutual submission is what it boils down to. But that's the definition in the dictionary. All right? Is everybody okay? So, ladies, y'all understand what submit is so far?
Yes.
That you're going to resign or surrender the power that you think you have.
Yes.
Because you don't have it anyway. Okay? You think you have it, but you don't have it. Can I go ahead and tell you, there's only one true authority in a home, and that's the Lord's. That's why the Bible talks about submitting one to another. But Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of woman. That's what the Bible says. We still okay? Submission. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says this. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women. Now, maybe this is just for holy women. But after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Do you submit enough to call your husband Lord? Do you submit that far? That you'll call your husband Lord? This is quiet on you ladies, was the man this morning. Now, let's go. How did she call him Lord? Why? What did she do? This is what Sarah had done. She went along with Abraham, going along with him wherever he went. As from home, from her home, in the Chaldees. You know, Abraham ain't the only one that left home. You know that, don't you? Abraham ain't the only one that left everything he had in the Ur of the Chaldees and took off where he didn't know where. Can you imagine Abraham coming home and said, Sarah, we're leaving, pack up. Where are we going? I have no clue.
Right.
She said, yes, Lord.
Yeah.
Well, would y'all? Pack up everything. Now, put it all in the truck. What we can't haul, leave it. Huh? Where are we going? I don't know. How long are we going? Forever? Do you know where we're staying tonight? Nope. What are we going to do for money? Don't know. Yes, Lord. I'll load the truck. Be tough with it. Come on, ladies. Talk to me. Come on. Huh? That's what Sarah did. She went from the Ur of the Chaldees to Canaan, then into Egypt, into the land of the Philistines. And doing the things he told her to do, he said, don't you tell them you're my wife, tell them you're my sister. She said, yes, Lord. Now, I'm going to come close to losing you with the king. Yes, Lord. I'm going to make mistakes. Yes, Lord. Are we still okay? Now, I'm just telling you what Scripture said. All right? None of this is my opinion. Alright? I'm just giving you scripture. The wife ought to take care of the family, to educate her children, to serve and minister to her husband in all things, calling him her own Lord, which is what we learn from the example of Sarah, who called Abraham her Lord, even when the angels come and told Abraham and said, "You're going to have a child." And Sarah laughed in her tent and said, "My Lord's old." But she still called him Lord. Right? Are we okay? Anybody ever read that in their Bible? Anybody ever study it? Any of you ladies ever study that out? Why you ought to call your husband Lord? But you know, the husband's supposed to study on how to love the wife. Shouldn't the wife, shouldn't she have to study on how to submit to her husband? Should it work together? We okay? How about Genesis 2:18? "And the Lord God said, 'It's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him.'" Wife, you need to understand, the wife was made for her husband. That's why the woman was made for the man. The wife was made for the husband. Wasn't made for no other reason but to be the helpmate for the man. Huh? Everybody listening to me? Okay. The wife is not made to be a slave or a doormat, but a helpmeet. To help him, to encourage him, to honor him, but not to compare him. Why would you compare your husband to somebody else's? That other one ain't yours. Right? Do you honor your husband? How do you honor your husband? Do you know, there's a lot of men that belittle their wife. But can I tell you, there's a lot of women that belittle their husband. There's a lot of women that ought to stick a sock in it. Everybody understand? Because of the way they talk to their husband. Huh? He's not the flea-bitten dog out on the porch. Huh? He's not. And besides, you chose him. Out of all the other men, you chose him. So, if he's bad, then you're dumb. Right? If he's that bad that you got to rag on him all the time and put him down and complain about him, and you chose him. Huh? Are we okay? The wife is not inferior. I don't want nobody to think that. But a wife is different. All right? So we'll just go ahead and brag on the wife for a little bit. They're different. All right? Now let's look again. 1 Corinthians 7:34 talks about there's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. An unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. That's natural. That should be natural. It ought to be natural for a wife to want to please her husband. That's what Paul's writing to the church of Corinth there, who's got issues, got problems, and he said this is what naturally happens. If they're not married, they want to serve the Lord, but when they get married, they want to serve, they normally would serve their husband. See, we're living in a day where everything's all blowed out of proportion. I wish I knowed how. I'm going to have to get with Carl or Jeremy somebody. Y'all got to show me how to get some things off my phone on the screen. Because I know y'all would love this. You ladies would love this. In the 19, I think it was 19, I showed Cheryl 1950s how to prepare yourself for when your husband comes home from work. Right. How are you supposed to be dressed up? Not supposed to ask him no questions. Not supposed to stress him out. Supposed to have his iced tea ready. It was a whole lot of things. And that was come out of a magazine in the 50s, early 60s. About how mushy that wife is supposed to treat her husband. Huh? Remember me showing that to you? You said, yeah, that'll be the day. But how she may please her husband. Let me ask you, lady, just let me ask you. Is your desire of a morning to please your husband? Or do you have time? Well, he's up and gone before I even get up. That's not good. Why would he leave without you being up? Surely, he don't pack his own bucket. Surely, he don't have to get his own breakfast. Surely, you don't go to work without her kissing you, guys. Surely she ain't that bad. Surely she ain't that bad. Huh? Surely not. I would never hear such a thing. Huh? Where a man packed his own bucket or his wife would pack it at night because they didn't want to get up and disturb their beauty rest and kiss their husband by. Let me tell you what an older mother told my wife. An older mother told my wife, said, now, you may not like this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Said, don't ever go to bed fighting because you may never see him again. He may get killed in the mines. Don't ever let him go without something good in his bucket. He may get trapped in the mines and need something in his bucket. Remember when that lady told you that? Huh? Do us ladies tell our children that now? Or was we told that? Am I so old school? Am I so old school that wives are still supposed to be a wife and husbands are supposed to be a husband? Am I so old school that it's outdated, that the preaching's outdated and husbands don't have to love the wife and the wife don't have to please the husband? Huh? What would you do, wife, if you laid in the bed and your husband went to work and was killed on the job and you wished, boy, oh, I wished I could have, if I could just hug him and kid, told him goodbye, told him I love him. Yeah. I'm trying to be old, a downer all the time. I'm just preaching about submission and pleasing. Maybe you guys don't want nobody to do that. Listen, I'll take a hug and a kiss anytime I can get it. I don't care if it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Going to work. I don't care when it is. Huh? Any of you fellas like that? Come on. Heavenly sunlight. Huh? A wife's priority should be to her husband, not the children. The wife's priority is not the children. Not her own career. She was not made for the children. She was not made for a career. She was made for a husband.
Amen.
Children come after. But not in place of. The husband is supposed to eat first. Not the children. But them little darn guys, yeah, they do. They do. But they're not the one putting the food on the table. The husband they date first. Now she desires, she can work outside the home, but it's for her family. It's not to abandon family. Huh? Her family must come first. Her husband, then children. Now that's Bible. That's Bible. The wife was made for the husband. But the children weren't mentioned. When Adam needed a helpmate, God said, I'll make him one. He made him a woman, and there wasn't no children mentioned. Proverbs 31. Let's read a little scripture. Okay? Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good, not evil, all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, worketh willingly with her hand. She like the merchant ship, she bringeth her food from afar. That don't mean takeout. She writheth also while it's yet night, gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers the field. She's an entrepreneur. Huh? She considers the field and buys it with the fruit of her hands. She plants a vineyard. It's okay. She's got a career. She's not going extra. That's okay. Everybody understand? That's all right. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She works of a day. She works of a night. She's making sure her husband's took care of. And then she's making spare time to do other things. But her husband's first. Her husband's first. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold to the staff. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. You know, there was a time that there was enough went off in the home that when the poor come by, they knew what homes to stop at to get a meal. You know that? I reckon that's why my great-grandma, I reckon. They said every time you knocked on the door, it didn't matter if you were just there for directions. First thing she said, have you eaten yet? They said, I'm just wanting to know where Bill is. Have you eaten yet? That's why I'm just concerned if you've eaten. And then if they said, yeah, then let's go on with the information. How come the old people use it? How come us young people don't do that no more? You know, we're all the time talking about how many likes old-time religion? Hold your hand up if you like old-time religion. How many like see the power of God, old-time power of God? Anybody like see that? You know, you might have to live like your old-timer's done to have that. You reckon? Because this newfangled stuff ain't cutting it. She's not afraid of the snow for her household because she makes sure they're clothed good. For all her household, her clothes are scarce. Huh? She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. It don't hurt her. She got good clothes. And she dresses her husband well. Look here. Her husband is known in the gates when he stands among the elders of the land. He sits out. Huh? She takes so good a care of him when he's in a crowd. They say, ooh, oh, I know who your wife is. She takes care of you. Huh? Well, you still okay? She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Ladies, do we need to camper? Huh? Are you kind? Are you kind or hateful? Huh? Are you kind or hateful? Hey, honey. Ain't had my coffee. Huh? You know, it's rare that I see a man with a coffee cup that says, don't talk to me till my second cup. But every time I see it, it's in a woman's hand. Why is that? I mean, I just thought of that. I just thought of that. Every commercial I see has got that right on the coffee cup. A woman's got it, not a man. Huh? We can't even laugh and get through this, can we? She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. There's no idleness in that wife that loves her husband submits. There's no idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Wife, let me just ask you this. Does your husband praise you? Do they praise you? Or are they, when they go to work, saying, I tell you, one more day that woman, and I'm going to either kill myself or kill her. Huh? We've all worked with men like that. Maybe you've even said it. I like the fella to sit there and open his bucket. Blown it again and slammed it down his bucket. So he said, well, you ought to have your wife pack some else. You leave my wife out of it. I got to pack my own bucket. My daughters have done virtuously, but thou excels them all. Huh? Do you brag on her so much? Huh? That the men say, would you quit talking about how good your wife is? You make me sick. Do we? Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now let's look at something tonight. The wife's love for her husband. Now we've been just talking about how the woman's supposed to flee. We just read Proverbs just to give you some scripture that it's in there that you ought to please your husband and do all you can for your household. Ladies, do all you can for your husband and that he can rise up and call you blessed and brag on you. Huh? Be okay? Now, the wife's love for her husband. Now, we're going to look at some scripture where it describes her, some of her love for her husband. Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon is a wonderful book if you want to read it. It's in the Bible. It's after Ecclesiastes. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. Huh? Are you like head of evening? Your husband worked day shift. Are you like head of evening? Huh? Here he comes. Huh? Skipping across the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and vines with tender grapes give a good smell. Rise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Oh, my dove, thou art in the cleft of the rock, in the secret place of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Oh, I just love you so much. Just come on. Huh? Y'all do that? Huh? What do y'all say? Where's he at? I've done warmed this supper over 5 times. Ain't going to be 50. He'll cook her the next time by himself. Huh? She desires to see. Wife, do you desire to see your husband? Do you desire to see? Or when he comes home? If he loves you like he ought to, then you'll be tickled when he comes home. If we love them like we're supposed to, they'll say, there it comes, skipping across the hill. And if you're pleasing us, we'll skip across the hill to get home. Huh? She desires, Jerry's voice desires to be with him. You know, we get married to be together. I said this morning and last Sunday. I don't understand couples who get married and don't want to be together. There's a problem there somewhere. Huh? There's a problem. If you have that big a problem, why did you get married? Why? How about the wife's love desires her husband? Huh? Now we looked at the wife's love described. How about her desire for her husband? Let me ask you, like, do you desire your husband? You should desire your husband. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, 1 through 4. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not as a big bed. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets and in the broadways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him. I would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me. I wasn't satisfied until I had him. Huh? Is that how the wives are with their husbands today? You say, well, I'm old. There's not an age limit. There's not an age limit. But there appears to be a love limit. Huh? We still okay? How about the wife's husband described by love? Now this ain't just a description. She does this because she loves him. Hey guys, wait till you see this. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Right? His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. Of course, they were Jews. They were black colored, all skinned people. Right? His eyes are as eyes of dove by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. Huh? Ain't we good looking guys? Yeah. Hey, Zach. Girl, good looking, ain't we? Ain't nobody looks like us. We all right? Come on. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the burl. His belly is as... Don't say six pack. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedar. I mean, she got pretty high standards. I mean, she's saying, man, he's something. Huh? You say he's something, ladies? Is he something to you? Do you love him? Do you love your husband? Is he something to you? Huh? His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. But look at that next phrase. And this is my friend. This is my beloved. This is my friend. Can I tell you, when he's loving the wife and the wife's loving the husband, they be friends. They be friends. You know, I like to run around with my friends. I like to go places with my friends. I like to do things with my friends. I like to be nice with my friends. I like to take time with my friends. I like to brag on my friends. I like to talk to my friends a lot. Huh? We still okay?
Yeah.
Wives, are you loving your husband? Something caused us to fall in love. What did it? What happened? I believe we ought to rekindle the fire. Husband loved your wife. Wife loved your husband. Let's all love one another. Huh?
Yeah.
I'm afraid many wives don't want to be around their own husband because of the way she's treated. They look for love other places. They desire peace, security. Wives, love your husband for who he is and for what he is. Sometimes you need to let your husband fail. So you can love him when he fails. So you can be there when he recovers and help him recover, get closer. But don't down him when he fails. Love him when he fails. Love him when he makes a mistake. What we said earlier when we started about the clothes scattered and the cups, love him like that. Love him in his sin. Love him in his mistakes. Love him in his shortcomings. Love him when he messes up. Love him. Huh? See, we're supposed to love you when you messed up. Because we're supposed to love you like Christ loved the church. But you're supposed to submit to us as the church is subject unto Christ. So be subject unto your own husband. I don't know. We'll quit right there. That's it. About the best I can give you on loving your wife and loving your husband. I reckon all that now's left, just do it. Just do it. Let me ask you this tonight. Sherilyn, you go to the piano. Just play. We're not going to sing. Just play. Let me ask you tonight. Has anything that has been preached caused you to desire a different way? Has it caused you to desire a little better way? We've laughed. We've been sarcastic. We've had to laugh. Have we failed so much in our love for the Lord, in our love for our enemy, in our love for one another, in our love for the brethren, in our love for our husband, in our love for our wife? Have we failed so much that we even have the power of God and the Spirit of God, that what we've got anymore is emotion and personal know-how? Learn to do it without the Lord. Because I believe we fail loving the Lord. And we fail, and we know we fail, and we don't try to change it, then that's not good. And then if we don't love our enemy, and we see that, and we don't try to change it, then that's not good. If we see how we ought to love one another, and we love one another supposedly supposed to unconditionally, when we see that and we don't change or don't desire to change, It's okay to desire to change and try to change and fail. Just keep trying. Because we weak. We have problems. We know that. But what I wonder, do we have the desire? Do we have a desire to love our wife like never before? Do we have the desire to be the greatest husband that's ever been? That when God says anything, He says, if you want an example of a husband, well, look down there, right there. He done that one time with Job, who was a perfect man, who loved the Lord, loved God, was the hated evil. He done that one time with the devil, didn't he? He said, hey, devil, you ever consider my son? He bragged on him. I just wanted to ever brag on us for loving. Wives, do we really love our husbands? Do we try to please them? Do we try to please them? Or are we so interested in all the above? Love the Lord, love one another, our enemy. Are we so involved in us that we can't love one another? Are we so wrapped up in us, our wants, our desires, our own personal goals, that nothing else matters and we'll do whatever we can to see that it happens? That's what I wonder tonight. I've not preached nothing that you did not know. I've given you Scripture. We've read a lot of Scripture. I wonder tonight about our desires. I would rather try and fail than not try at all. I would. I'd rather try and fail, be guilty of failing instead of guilty of not trying. And I want to love you more. Father, help us tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's